By the grace of God, we'll look at Colossians chapter 3 here, beginning in verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We got a whole mouthful of things going on here, a whole list of things that we're, by the grace of God, going to talk about. I want to look at verses 1 and 2 again. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. The seeking of the eternal. This world is set up to go the wrong direction by the devil. He is the little g god of this world. It's set up to go the wrong way. It's set up to set folks' affections in the wrong direction, to focus people on the wrong things from an early age. As we go through life, we go through a program, if you will. If we're not careful, that's all it is, a program, where at this age you start kindergarten, at this age you're in middle school or high school, at this age or these 2 years, 17, 18, or for the real good students, 19, 20, amen, you can graduate high school. Amen. And then if you get through high school and the Lord blesses you with the graduation time, then you go find a job to spend the rest of your life doing this job, or you go to college, and you go to college so you can get a different job or a better job. We have all these ideas and all these programmed thought processes. And all this is culminated into one thing, to get a job. And it used to be to support a family and bring God honor and glory. But today it's to get a job so not only can you keep up with, but you can surpass the Joneses. Amen? You want to get a better job. You want to be a doctor or a lawyer or this or that. This is going to pay me this or this is going to pay me that. And instead of seeking the will of God, the face of God, we're seeking things to try to satisfy this flesh. If you're not careful, your whole purpose will be to go through life with the goal of ending with all these things. Amen? If I could just have more money, if I could have more cars and more houses and more this and more that, how about more Jesus? That's what's missing today. He said, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. You have to admit God's been good to us. God's blessed us. You don't have to have Elvis's mansion to be blessed. Amen. Elvis had it, and he wasn't too blessed by it. It was a hindrance to his spiritual life. By the way, that man was saved. Lived like hell. Died a miserable death in a miserable situation. You know why? He didn't set his affections on things above. He started out right, singing good, godly music, talking about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you know, after a while, if people call you the king long enough, you might start believing it. There's only one true king, and that's King Jesus. We're still waving to King James, waiting on King Jesus. Amen. But he says to set your affections on things above, and this world is not geared to focus on the eternal. And truly, the only purpose for a saved person to still be here after salvation is to focus on the eternal. Amen. The seeking of the eternal. Verses 3 and 4, it says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. We see the seeking of the eternal, and we see the Savior of the world. See, He didn't just die for the folks that are here today. He died for everybody. And if we're seeking the eternal, our heart will be broken for the fact that our Savior died to save everybody. And that the majority of people in 2021 reject our Savior. It ought to break our heart that He is being rejected. It ought to break our heart that people that are blood-bought born again reject truth and still live like the devil a lot of times. It ought to break our heart. Not that we can stand and brag on us, oh, we made it to church today. We put on our best and we went to church and we go to church every time the church is open. It's not about that. It's about having a broken heart for people because God did something eternal and He wants everybody in on it. The reason the lost world doesn't care anymore is because blood-bought, born-again believers fail to set their affections on things above. The Savior of the world. That's who we ought to be focused on. 5-9, he goes down through this list of sin. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. On down through here. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Talking about not lying to each other. It's the sin of the old man. The sin of the old man. Do you realize He's talking to believers about the sins of the old man that they are caught up in? And He's telling them not to be caught up in the sins of the old man? Not a whole lot's changed in many, many, many years since Paul preached that. Because preachers still have to stand at a pulpit and preach against living the sins of the old man. Amen. If you look at that list, what a horrible list. You realize blasphemy and filthy communication is on that list. And He's telling saved people to put off the old man, to put off those sins. Because even though these folks were going to church, even though these folks were probably reading their Bibles, studying some Scripture, you still weren't living right. Amen. I mean, you go down through that list and that's a horrible, horrible mess. Blasphemy. Filthy communication. A blood-bought, born-again believer having filthy communication. A blood-bought, born-again believer blasphemy. Lying to each other. I mean, that's a horrible, horrible list. But see, the problem is not what's coming out of the believer. That's the expression of the problem. The problem is what's going in the believer. Amen. We've talked about this before. We'll talk about it again today. You've got to guard your eyes. You've got to guard your ears. You've got to guard yourself. You've got to guard your testimony. You need to guard your soul. You see, you remember Abram and Lot. And Lot looked out at the well-watered plain. Boy, he said, this is what I want. And he ended up over at Sodom, vexing his righteous soul because he made a decision from his flesh. He looked at that fleshly decision. He said, boy, that looks good to me. Oh, that's going to be better for me. My cattle are going to do really well over there. They're going to do better than they ever could have over here. And he got over in a situation that not only vexed his righteous soul, it vexed his family. As blood-bought, born-again believers, we talked about this in Sunday school. We should be prayerfully walking every step of our life with the Lord Jesus Christ. After a while, we should get tired of getting out ahead of Him and being in the wrong place. After a while, we should realize that His arm is not short that He cannot save. His ear is not too heavy that He cannot hear. He will listen. He will help. He will guide. He will direct. He will walk with you and fellowship with you. He will guide you. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He will. He is willing to walk every single step of our lives with us. And where we get messed up is when we look at that well-watered plain and think, boy, if I could just have that. You know what it says? Covetousness, which is idolatry. You're idolizing something that you don't have. You make something you don't have more important than God. Amen. That's 2021. Well, I'd like to go to church, but I got a bass boat in my mind, and I got a big bass tournament coming up, and I got this, and we could go camping. That's my family time. I've told many, many people, you're welcome to come to church. We'd love to have you there. You know what a lot of them tell me? Well, Sunday is my day. Sunday's your day. Enjoy your day. But one of these days is going to be the Lord's day, whether you like it or not. Amen. Most people say Sunday's my day to rest because they're out drunk Saturday. They're out drunk whoring around on Saturday. And Sunday is their day. That's the day they're just going to lay around and lick their wounds. When the truth is, if people just sell out to the Lord and start reading that book and showing up in church occasionally, to find out what God has for them, they wouldn't have some of those wounds. You'd better off be wounded for the cause of Christ than wounded for stupidity. Amen. But this world's a mess. The sins of the old man. Look at verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. The showing of the new man. You know what he says, put off all these filthy things and put on Jesus Christ. I mean, when the world looks at you and I, the world should look and wonder why we're different. They should look and say, why don't they tell the dirty jokes? Why don't they laugh at the dirty jokes? Why don't they drink the booze? I know some churches, a little alcohol for your infirmities, bologna and cheese. We can do a Bible study on it if you don't believe me. You shouldn't be drinking liquor. You shouldn't be putting alcohol on yourself. That being said, though, if you're not feeling yourself with the Bible, you're going to be drunk with yourself. Pride. You could be just as big a pride drunker as you could be an alcohol drunkard. Amen. But he's saying, put on Christ. You see, if you put on two coats, nobody can see both the coats. But most people put the old coat on over the new coat again once they get a new one. We hear the song, put off the old coat and put on the new. That new is that seamless robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what we put on. That's what He puts on us at salvation. Amen. But a lot of people get saved and then they want to put that old coat on so people don't recognize Jesus in their life because they're not comfortable with Jesus in their life. Amen. I like Jesus being in my life. You know why? Because the people that don't want Him in my life, they're not my friends. they're not my friends. And they're not yours either. If they don't want Jesus in your life, it's because they're not your friends. That's because they're your enemy. Oh, they'll come around when you've got whatever sin they want to deal with and you're doing what they're doing. You want to find out who your real friends are? Sell out to Jesus Christ and see who sticks around. Amen. Amen. The showing of the new man. Look at verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. I mean, here we are in a world of confusion, a world of chaos. It's a, you know, Black Lives Matter, don't pick on the Chinese, and the white man bad, and all this baloney going on. You know what the truth is? There's only two kind of people in the world. There's lost people and there's saved people. Amen. If we only got along with people that looked like us, first of all, we'd be most miserable if we hung around people that all looked like me. Amen. But where are you going to find the people that are exactly like you? The perfect people. Amen. It's lost or saved. It doesn't matter what their skin color is. It's what their sin color is. Amen. But the devil says, oh no, I got a good place to start here. I'm going to start causing some division. Some division. You're better than them. They're better than you. Oh, you don't believe that? Well, they're after you then. We'll make you enemies one way or another. And the truth is, Christ wants unity among believers. Do you realize that you are sitting, if you're saved, the person next to you is saved, you are sitting next to one of your closest relatives through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's think about this. If you got on a plane, you went to the other side of the world, and you found a black lady or a yellow man or a red man, and they're saved, and you just reach out and shake their hand, you're shaking hands with one of the closest relatives you have. Because you're related through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm glad God doesn't have favorites like that. Now, He has people He likes to use, people that sell out to Him. There's no doubt about that. But He doesn't look down and say, well, you're going to heaven and you're going to hell because of your skin color. He looks down and He says, there's a bunch of people down there that need Me. And He looks into your heart, my heart. And He says, if you get this out, and get this out, I could use you to get a hold of them, to let them know they need Me. You see, God doesn't work through all these mystical ways people want to believe. God works through people. He does some mystical things, some magical, miraculous things. I don't want to use the word magical, but miraculous things. That's just everyday business with God. But when He saves souls, He does it through people. His Word and born-again believers. Amen. I used to go down to downtown Toledo and hand out tracts. I love downtown Toledo. That's a great place. You ever down there, you might take some tracts with you. There are police all over the place. You don't have to worry about anything down there. They're separating the crack dealers on the corner and stuff. They're right there. Well, let me tell you something. And I'm not trying to make a race issue about anything. I had more trouble out of white men wearing suits witnessing to them than I ever did out of a black man or a yellow man that knew he was a sinner or a white man. Amen? I've had them put their crack pipe down and listen to the gospel. I've had them stoned out of their mind, put the joint behind their back and listen to the gospel. You know what I realized? God's not afraid of that stuff. I've seen them laser lock in and listen to the Word of God, and I've handed them a tract and walked off knowing that they heard a witness. I don't care what their mind was going through with that dope. God was getting to their heart. Amen. And it wasn't because of their skin color. It wasn't because they were a Jew or a Gentile, circumcision or uncircumcision. It's because they were lost and on their way to hell and they needed Jesus Christ. The Savior of whosoever. I like that word, whosoever. Matter of fact, I'll help y'all out for next week. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever. For whosoever, with no discriminatory content or intent, whoever comes to Jesus Christ and says, Lord, I'm a sinner, and you're the Savior. You know what the devil likes to do? He likes to mess with people and pit people against people so people get so welled up with pride that they can't even admit they're wrong, and then they're doomed for hell. But you know what he likes to do with us? He likes to give us truth. He likes to break our heart down and break our mind down and break us down to where we realize that we're nothing but dirt without Him. And we're all equal. We're either going to heaven or going to hell. And it's all because of Jesus Christ we're going to heaven. And He likes to send us to folks and say, look at that person. They are miserable in their sin. They're going to die and go to hell. And I'm giving you an opportunity to glorify Me by opening that mouth for something besides filthiness. Amen. And give them the truth. Amen. Because He saves whosoever will call upon Him. 12 through 15. But put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Even if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There's a surrendering to truth. You notice it says, notice one thing about these verses. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. If you don't have the peace of God in your heart, it's because you're not letting it rule in your heart. It's up to you what rules your heart. That's what he says. Put off the old man. Put off the old sin. And put on Jesus Christ. And when you put on the new man, when you put on Jesus Christ, the peace of God automatically rules your heart. If the peace of God is not ruling your heart, you have chosen something else to rule your heart. It's idolatry. You are worshiping something else. Or someone else. Solomon said, I gave me, I made me, I, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Because Solomon became his own God. He idolized himself. He worshiped himself. And he gave himself everything he wanted. He took his affections off of God and put them on things of this world to his own destruction and his own demise. By the way, he's the wisest man that ever walked this earth besides Jesus Christ. And he destroyed his life worshiping himself. The surrendering to truth. 16 and 17. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatsoever. Ooh. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. We've seen the seeking of the eternal, the Savior of the world, the sin of the old man, the showing of the new man, the saving of whosoever, praise God, the surrendering to truth, and now we see the Savior being glorified. That's how you do it here in this world. You put off the old, you put on the new, you sell out to the truth. You seek to be a blessing. You surrender to Him and you glorify Him. And the peace of God rules in your heart. Jump back to verse 4 for a minute. I promise we're about done. Verse 4 for just a minute. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. When Christ, who is our life. Not just our eternal life. He is our life. Not just after the rapture. Now. He has given us eternal life. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. You call out to Jesus Christ, trust Him as Savior. He gives you life. For the first time, you are alive in Christ. And now He is our life. If He's not the primary focus, if He's not the purpose of everything you do, if He's not the one you fellowship with on a daily basis, if you're not reading His Word and talking to Him and letting Him talk to you, if you're not walking every step of your life with Him, you're missing out because He is our life. Your checkbook is not your life. It can't save you and it can't give you peace and joy. Your house, your car, the things you have is not your life. Your job is not your life. Christ is your life. When Christ, who is our life, He is everything. He's the reason we should get up in the morning. He's the reason we should draw every breath. He's the reason we should love one another. He's the reason we should love our enemies. He's the reason we should preach the truth. He's the reason we're going to go downstairs and fellowship in a little while. We go down there and we'll eat food and then praise God for the food. But we're going to talk about Jesus Christ while we're down there. We're going to thank Him for the food. We're going to ask Him to bless the meal. We're going to ask Him to bless the time of fellowship. You know why? Because we don't want filthy communication. We want to glorify Him. Because He is our life. And when He is your life, Jesus Christ will give you some things. First of all, when you first meet Him, He gives you some things. He gives you a handle on reality. You know what He tells you? You are wicked and you deserve to burn in hell. He gives you conviction. That's reality. You know what the world's teaching our kids? Be the best you can be. You're a good person. Do good things and you'll be all right. And somebody comes along and says, Jesus Christ says He'll save you from your sin. They said, what sin? What sin? And they'll give you a list of things they're doing that their teachers told them would be all right. Because the devil's running this place. Amen. This is His world right now. He's having a heyday with it. He shouldn't be running you. He shouldn't be running me. And by the grace of God, He's not going to run this church. Amen? But He's running everything else. So, Brother Jim talks about He is. It seems like He's ramping up His efforts and getting stronger as the days go because His time is short. The Lord's going to come back and call us out of here and they're going to have 7 years of almost hell on earth and Jesus Christ is going to come back and set and rule and reign on the throne of David for 1,000 years. And it's going to be totally different. But the reason the devil has so much power right now is God's people aren't utilizing the power of God. Trying to do things in our own strength and our own will and our own timing, make our own decisions, go our own way. And like we were talking about in Sunday school, there's very little of here am I, send me anymore. God's got something for you to do. You know how I know? I can guarantee you that because you're still breathing His air. If you're saved, He has something for you to do. And it may not be going to Zimbabwe. It may not be drilling a well in the Ukraine. It may not be any of that stuff. It may be going across the street to your neighbors and saying, you know, look, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I just want you to know that we love you and we want you to go to heaven. I want to tell you what the Bible says. Anybody ever talk to you about that? You'd be surprised how many people tell you no. People that you live by. People that you work with. People that you care about. Nice people. People that the world would say they're good people. Nobody told them. Say, well, there's 200 churches in this county. Well, yeah, but there are thousands of people nobody's told yet. Amen. God's people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing a lot of times. I'm not saying that to beat you into doing it. I'm saying to tell you that you're missing something. When Christ, who is our life, my grandma, when she was in her later years and she was really in bad health, she said, I don't even know why I'm here anymore. And this is a good, godly, Christ-honoring, Bible-believing, praying woman that was beat down. She said, I don't know why I'm still alive. I said, Grandma, I said, you've been such a blessing to so many people. I said, you pray for everybody every night? You read your Bible every night, every day? You're just doing what God called you to do, and you're a blessing. Amen? And you know, even that day when she was struggling to figure out why she was still here, battling with the flesh, battling with the devil, she was thanking God for the sunset. Thanking God for the sunrise. She'd bend her hands about like that. She couldn't open a jar anymore. She had to use scissors to cut plastic bags. But she couldn't even open the little plastic bags. She was thanking God for her hands working. Imagine how she's praising Him now. She then went home and ain't no more of this. There ain't no more reaching to this level. There ain't no more. Amen? It's all different now because of Jesus Christ. When Christ, who is our life, the reason she was able to keep trudging along and keep doing what she was called to do, because Christ was her life. And now Christ is her eternity. But He's ours too. But we don't have to wait till eternity to try to please Him. He is our life. Now, He'll give you a handle on reality. He'll give you a home in heaven. Praise the Lord. Call on Him, you're going. Matter of fact, you're good as there. He's in you, you're in Him, and He's at the right hand of God the Father. Spiritually speaking, there's a part of us in heaven already for trusting Christ. He'll give you a humble example. That's what we need. If we ever need anything in the United States of America besides salvation and the Word of God, we need a humble example, and that humble example was Jesus Christ. He stepped down to save. He stepped down to serve. He washed the disciples' feet. The filth of this world, He bowed down and wiped their feet with His energy. His being was to serve. He stepped down to surrender. You know what helped Christians out? Christians might use that too loosely, but saved people. You know what helped save people out? If we just step down off our high horse and surrender to Jesus Christ. Every single day. Amen. Every single day. Slow down. And realize that people need saved. Ask God to show you who they are. He'll do that, by the way. I'm telling you, I'm in awe of Him all the time. Just the way He works things out. I mean, you get on your face. I can tell you from personal experience. You get on your face and say, Lord, just make me usable. Do something. Let me lead somebody to the Lord. Let me witness to somebody that'll listen. And it's not a matter of days. It might be a phone call from a telemarketer. I told you about that. I'm amazed how God works these things out. It might be somebody that's broke down the side of the road. You stop, hey, you need any help? I don't know, I'm good. Well, hey, let me invite you to church. And the next thing you know, I've been thinking about that. You're not doing anything but stopping. And then they start the conversation. I've been thinking about heaven and hell lately. You know why? Because God works those things out. When Christ, who is our life, you make Him your life, and He will give you a life with purpose. Eternal purpose. A handle on reality, a home in heaven, a humble example. We struggle because we fail to surrender. You know what else He'll give you if you're walking with Him? Hunger for truth. If you're reading your Bible and you're praying and you're talking to Jesus Christ and He's guiding your footsteps, He's going to give you a hunger for truth. He's going to give you a hunger to get more out of this book. He's going to give you a hunger to get closer to Him. That maniac Gadara, when he got saved, he just wanted to be with Jesus. That's what he wanted. He had a hunger for truth. He'll give you healthy desire. The Bible says He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now again, we've talked about this before, but it's worth mentioning again, I believe. He doesn't give you everything you want of this world. He gives you a heart to desire things that bring Him honor and glory. He'll give you healthy desires. You notice it's in the same passage with put off the old man? Because this flesh desires wickedness. Amen. It does. It wants to hear the dirty joke sometimes. And the new man says, you don't want that. You want Christ. The old man says, oh, I've had it. I might cuss myself. Peter did. He was saved. Oh, you don't want that. You want Christ, the new man says. He says, if you walk with me, I'll give you the desires, healthy desires. When you're walking with Him, you desire to glorify Him. You desire to see people saved. You desire to see other people glorify Him. Eventually, when you walk with Him, you get to the point where it breaks your heart, not just that they're lost, but they're not glorifying your Savior. Because when you're walking with Him and talking with Him, you realize how worthy He really is. You start to get a better view of how worthy He really is. And you start to get a heart that's broken because other people don't realize how worthy He really is. And it becomes something more than just heaven and hell. It becomes seeing people saved so they can glorify Him. Amen? I want to glorify Him. You see, I got this flesh that tends to go the old man way if I'm not careful and prayerful. It give you healthy desires. A heart for the lost. I told you about that telemarketer called here a couple weeks ago. And he gave me a spiel. And I said, you know, look, I'm not probably going to be interested in that, but you give me a few minutes, And I got to witness to him. I started witnessing to him, and the first thing he said, and I'm telling you, I remember it just like I was there right now. I remember staring at the ceiling in the kitchen, listening to him on the phone, staring at this beam in the ceiling, and him saying, I have kids, and I'm so afraid. I don't want to die and then not know where I'm going. And I wasn't thinking Romans Road. I wasn't thinking about how can I get this guy to Christ. I was thinking, this guy, here's a whole family full of people that are going to die and go to hell. And then the Lord just worked it out, got to witness to him. And then afterwards, I was thinking, man, God is good. Amen? I wasn't thinking, well, boy, I'm glad I knew Romans 3:23. I was thinking, oh, I'm glad I know Jesus. You should know Romans 3:23 and 6:23 and 10:9, 10:13. Maybe not every word of it, but you ought to have it. You have to be studying it. But you need to know Jesus. Walk with Him. They give you a heart for the lost. They give you happy memories. I mean, it's hard. I choke up. Talking about some of my family that's gone. I got some happy memories. I got some Thanksgivings where I remember a spoon would smack your knuckles if you hadn't prayed. Yeah. Thank you. Go pray. Amen. I think I was threatened with a spoon earlier. Somebody. Ah, I remember now. Yeah. But happy memories about family. Not just biological family, but church family. You ever meet somebody and they're from a totally different part of the country and you start talking to them, you know they're saved. You just know they're saved. And then they start talking about Jesus Christ. And you'll stand there and talk to them 20, 30 minutes about Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, you wouldn't have said hi to them probably. And they wouldn't have noticed you. And then the next thing you know, you're whistling, walking off like the Ethiopian eunuch, going, man, that was great. Amen. Your spirit is good. They give you happy memories about family, happy memories about friends, and folks that trusted Christ. There's a memory, I mean, I have some memories, a lot of memories of people over the years in the jail that got saved, but this one just really stands out, and the Lord just burned it into my, He engraved it into my soul. So I can, it gives me hope. I remember this boy. My boy was a little, real little. My boy's name is Joshua, and this boy named Josh Graham, he come forward, and he was crying like somebody opened up the water spigot. His shoes were had tears all over him. This guy was crying. He said, I've been religious all my life. I need to get saved. And he prayed a prayer that would have rivaled Elijah's prayer, amen. I want to get saved again, amen. And I just remember that like it was yesterday. That's a happy memory. And the reason it's a happy memory is because I know me and God let me be part of something that's eternal. It'll keep you going. It'll give you a hunger for truth, healthy desires, a heart for the lost, happy memories. It'll give you help for today. Amen. Strength in times of weakness. Amen. We need that. I don't know about y'all, but a lot of times of weakness in this world. We need His strength. He'll give you peace in the midst of the storms. Amen. And He'll give you joy in the darkest hours. Joy this world can't have or understand unless they're saved, unless they get saved. He'll give you help for today. He'll give you hope for tomorrow. I have hope for tomorrow because of Jesus Christ. He's my blessed hope. I'm looking forward to meeting Him face to face one day. But I have hope for tomorrow because I know that if He gives me the rest of today and I wake up in the morning, I have a new day. And if anything that I did wrong or didn't do right the day before, I can get it under the blood and go on. I have hope for tomorrow here if He leaves me here. I have hope for tomorrow because He's coming back. We see what's going on in this world. This place is a mess. But He's coming back. Well, where is the promise of His coming? It's right here. There's the promise of His coming. He's coming back. I have hope for tomorrow because I have an eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. No matter what. It doesn't matter if a red guy, blue guy, Democrat, Republican gets in office. Doesn't matter about that. I'm going to heaven. Amen. They can resurrect Hitler and put him in there. I'm still going to heaven. Amen. I've got hope. My hope is not hinging on what other people do. My hope is in what Jesus Christ has done, is doing, and what He will do. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Is He your life? Or is He an add-on? Is He an add-on?